Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
And grab your sheet and grab your copy of God's word and go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. How many of you guys this weekend would say that you had an abundant Thanksgiving table? Amen? Amen, amen. Man, the women in my family, my wife, my mama, my sister-in-law, they did an outstanding job. I mean, turkey and ham, stuffing, gravy, cooked apples, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, green beans, salad, deviled eggs, rolls. I mean, I can't even say it all in one breath. I mean, they just went on and on and on. It was amazing. It was an abundant Thanksgiving table. I mean, we had leftovers on top of leftovers. And you know, as you look back in history, the first Thanksgiving, all the way back in 1621, began out of abundance, didn't it? The pilgrims, the natives, they came together for a feast to celebrate that huge harvest that God had blessed them with. And for 3 days, did you guys know the first Thanksgiving feast lasted not one afternoon? But for 3 days, they ate deer and corn and just all sorts of stuff. Shellfish was on the menu there in that first Thanksgiving holiday there, and roasted meat. I mean, my goodness, I mean, it kind of felt like I feasted for 3 days coming out of what I just experienced. But there are so many things for you and me to thank God for, and certainly one of them is His abundance. Amen. God is a God of abundance. And today, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, that's what I'm calling you to give thanks for. I know that you've probably had a list. It's really popular on Facebook to go around and each day to say something that you're thankful for. But I wonder if any of those days so far, here in November, you have thanked God specifically for His abundance. But that's today's takeaway. Just a simple takeaway this morning. Give thanks to God for His abundance. One of the best texts, as I look at the Bible, to demonstrate God's abundance to us happens to be a feast, right? How fitting. Now, perhaps it wasn't a feast like Thanksgiving, but it was a feast nonetheless, and they ate it thankfully. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. We begin in the 13th verse there, Matthew 14, 13 down through 21. I'm going to invite you this morning to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says this, "Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place. The day's now over. Send the crowds away into the villages so they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They not need go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides the women and children." Let's pray together. Fathers, we look at this passage. It is a passage of abundance. It is a passage, undoubtedly, that people there in that scenario, in that scene, God, were giving you thanks. And Father, I believe that this has happened time and time again in our lives, over and over again in our lives. You have provided abundantly in very similar ways. Maybe not miraculously, it didn't seem, God, but you've provided nevertheless. And we ask, God, that you would do it again. Father, if there's anybody this morning here under the sound of my voice who has yet to repent of their sin and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, I pray today, this Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, they would see their sin and run to Christ in faith and love. So move in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Man, what an astounding passage of Scripture. Now, again, as I said in my prayer just then, I want to suggest to you that this is something that God has done over and over again. This is who God is. It's emblematic, this feeding of 5,000, even though maybe that event itself didn't happen again and again and again. It's emblematic of how God frequently acts, right? God often goes above and beyond. He often blesses to overflow. He often blesses with an abundance. And I'm calling you this morning to give thanks for his abundance. And our text demonstrates for you and me three specific ways that you and I get to experience God's abundance. First, it demonstrates God's abundant compassion. God's abundant compassion. Look at verse 13 and 14 here. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. And he healed their sick. Jesus, God in the flesh, was moved by compassion when he saw this great crowd. As he looked out over this crowd, he probably saw this crowd in much the same way that he saw the crowd in Matthew 9:36. There, when he saw the crowd, the Bible says this, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He looked out over these crowds and they broke Jesus' heart, right? Compassion, I mean, that was a common reaction Jesus had toward crowds that followed him. Our God is a God of compassion. This is his character. This is his nature. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Paul there gives praise to God for this reason, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, or actually there, the God of compassion in other translations. Mercies and compassion often used interchangeably depending on the translation there. The God of all mercies, or the God of all compassions, and the God of all comfort. Psalm 103, verse 13. The psalmist said, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. God is abundant in compassion. As I say the name Katie Davis, does that name ring a bell at all to anybody? Katie Davis. It may not be a name that you're familiar with, but to 14 little Ugandan orphan girls, Katie Davis is the most important name in the world, second to only Jesus Christ. Katie grew up right down I-65 here in Brentwood, Tennessee. In 2006, she took this short-term mission trip to Uganda, and her life was changed, her heart was changed, right? She fell in love with the people of Uganda, and after this homecoming queen graduated high school in 2007. She moved to Uganda. She began to teach school in an orphanage there. She had only planned to stay for just a year or so. It wasn't as short term as her trip before, but it wasn't, you know, just a year, maybe 2 years. She wanted some time between high school and college to serve the Lord, to get some experience. But all of that changed January 2008. When just down the road from the orphanage, a mud hut with three little AIDS orphan girls collapsed one night in a storm. And it hurt them badly enough that they had to go to the hospital, and Katie helped take them over there. And she probably knew them because she was in the community and maybe had taught them at one point or something like that. But there in the hospital was 9-year-old Agnes. Agnes was one of those little girls that had been injured in the accident. And Agnes there that night in the hospital with Katie asked Katie if she could come live with Katie. Now, she was likely trying to just console the girl, right? She basically said, oh, I'd love for you, sweetheart, to come live with me. And when there was no next of kin for the children to move into with, that's exactly what Katie did. Katie took Agnes in, but not just Agnes, her two sisters as well. She was only 18 or 19 years old, Katie was, right? Only 18 or 19 years old. But it didn't stop with those three girls. By the time Katie was 23 years old, She had 13 orphan girls living with her from the ages of 2 years old to the ages of 15 years old. I mean, that's a big stretch, right, for a single mom, basically. In fact, that two-year-old, a woman with AIDS who already had like 11 children herself, literally brought her daughter to Katie, handed her to her, and said, I want you to take care of her. And Katie's like, what? She said herself, she said she never intended, her first instinct was never, oh, a baby, let me adopt it. She believed the best scenario is, right, for Ugandan children to be raised by Ugandans in Uganda, but she knew they had nowhere else to go. They had nowhere else to go. And she said that she was incapable of sending them away. At that time, she was too young by Ugandan law to adopt those babies, those girls, right? Any of them from 2 to 15 years old couldn't adopt any of them. So she basically became their foster mom. And after almost a decade later, she's now in her late 20s. Katie is. She's still living in Uganda, but now she's married. And they've added a 14th girl to the family. She's really famous around town because she's the one with that big minivan, right? You know what I'm talking about? I'm thankful for families with the big, not minivan, the big passenger van, right? Running around town, right? What in the world, guys, pushed Katie to this extreme? And the answer is compassion, right? While as you look at the compassion that she had, and it is indeed, guys, I mean, that's amazing human compassion. I mean, to move from Nashville, basically, to Uganda, adopt 14 girls, that's amazing compassion. But I want to say to you this morning, it pales in comparison to the compassion that God has up on us. In fact, I mean, in Jesus Christ, right, God is not only redeemed, he's also adopted billions of orphans, so to speak, right? Billions of us, all who have and will repent and believe in Jesus. So I call you this morning to give thanks to God for his abundant compassion. But next, our text not only demonstrates God's abundant compassion, it also demonstrates, second, God's abundant power. God's abundant power. Matthew 14, man, this is an enormous crowd. It's a big crowd. Verse 21 tells us 5,000 men besides women and children. So, I mean, that's 5,000 plus, right? Could have been 10,000. I don't know how many kids they brought with them. But it's thousands more, potentially, than that 5,000 there. And they were in this desolate place, and it was getting toward the end of the day, and people were getting past hungry to hungry, you know what I'm saying? And they were on the verge of getting hangry. It was getting bad. And so the disciples were like, Jesus, you need to bust this up and send them on home. Let them go find some food for themselves. I want you to look at verse 16, though. Matthew 14, 16, Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And the disciples are like, us? Feed this many people? Any of you ever felt that God has given you an impossible task? An impossible task. That's how the disciples felt, right? Then they point out the impossibility. They just don't say, what? I mean, they want Jesus to understand how impossible the task is that he just asked them to do. Look at verse 17. They said to him, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, that's not even enough for 5,000 plus to get a smell of the food. You know what I'm saying? And so Jesus was like, oh, I didn't realize we were short on groceries. Just forget it. I said anything. No, that's not what he said, is it? Jesus said, what, 5 loaves, 2 fish ain't enough for you to provide for this crowd through my power? That's basically what he said. You see, beloved, listen to me. God can do a lot with a little. Amen? Amen. Have you seen him do a lot with a little in your life? Guys, that's absolutely the truth. This is the God that we serve, right? He can take a couple of our sardines and a few loaves of bunny bread, right? And do a feast. That's the God we serve. This is the God who has moved in mighty ways all throughout history and all throughout your life. He has moved in mighty ways. Verse 18 through 20, he says, all right, you forgot about me, basically, right? I mean, I said the 5 loaves and 2 fish and for you to feed them, but bring them to me And so they brought those five loaves, the two fish to Jesus, verse 19. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they ate and were satisfied. Five loaves, two fish, and he fed 5,000 plus people. Beloved, there is nothing that is impossible for God if he sets his mind to it. Nothing can stop his holy will, right? I mean, this is the God that spoke the world into existence. This is the God who moves mountains. This is the God who commands angelic armies. This is the God who raises the dead and makes all things new. This is the God of abundant power. So give thanks to God for his abundant power. But not only does our text demonstrate God's abundant compassion and abundant power, it also demonstrates, third and finally, God's abundant provision. God's abundant provision. We read the passage earlier. Did you see what happened at the end of verse 20? Look back at verse 20 there. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. Not only did God provide, not only did he provide, he provided abundantly, right? They had all sorts of leftovers to give thanks for. I mean, 12 bushel baskets. I don't know if it was a bushel, but I know what a bushel is, and so that's what I envisioned in my head, right? 12 bushel baskets, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he didn't give them hors d'oeuvres, an appetizer. They ate until they were full, and then they still went around and picked up 12 bushel baskets of leftovers. That's how our God provides, brother. Sister, that is how our God knows how to bless, doesn't he, right? He often doesn't do just enough to get by or even just enough to get you full. God often overflows. Like it says in 6:38, Luke 6:38, he says, he talked about a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Our God is a God of abundance. Back down in the foothills of the Cumberland Plateau there in Middle Tennessee where I used to pastor, there were a lot of folks there who were big fans of gospel music artist Michael Combs. Any Michael Combs fans here? Anybody? Nope, just a Tennessee thing looks like. But they loved him, man. They loved him. And rightly so, he had some good stuff. But one of Michael Combs' songs that folks love to sing, and they often would allude to it, has this lyrics. Here's what Michael Combs wrote. He said, I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now. And I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as long as I go along life's journeys, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough. But I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all of his blessings and the mercies he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. That's a perfect picture of our God. He's a God who abundantly provides so much that there's more than enough. There are leftovers, right? There is overflow. We often read the 23rd Psalm at funerals, don't we? But you know what? The 23rd Psalm is not just a verse to die by, a chapter to die by. It is a psalm to live by. So let me remind you this morning what it says. The 23rd Psalm, verses 1 through 6, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Here it is, church. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder this morning, church, do you have anything at all to give God thanks for this morning? Do you have anything that you could praise God for, that you could return thanks to God for? He is abundantly provided, and he'll continue to do so forevermore. But I would be remiss this morning if I didn't point you to the greatest provision he's ever provided, and that is the provision in Jesus Christ. Listen, beloved, this is not just the addendum to the sermon. This is not just the appendix to the sermon. I want you to understand one thing. God, you want to look at God's abundant provision, then look no further. There is no greater demonstration than the cross of Jesus Christ, right? You, the sinner, in debt to God because of your sin, Jesus Christ lived and died in your place that you could have life everlasting, and he has brought you face to face this morning with your sin. It is the grace of God. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ this morning and you're here, it is the grace of God that's brought you here to hear the gospel at least one more time. And I would beg you this morning, whether you're 10 or 100, Jesus Christ is enough. He is the blood that is ever flowing to cleanse your sins. He is the living water that wells up, right? That spring of living water that flows up and never runs dry. In Jesus Christ, there is abundance on top of abundance. There is overflow. There is left over, right? You can't even use it all. That's who Jesus Christ is. And so I beg you this morning, in this Thanksgiving season, you want to give thanks to God? You really want to give thanks to God? It's not just lip service. It is life service. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and place your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, and then and only then can you fully give thanks to God, because you've recognized and you've received the greatest gift that God has ever given. As we think about life, God has blessed you and all of you tremendously. If you need Christ this morning, I pray you would run to Jesus. But here is my final prayer. As you think about the abundance that's been showered on you and me, it's to the point of overflow, but here's my final prayer. May our thanksgiving to God fill heaven, if that's even possible, to overflow. I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's possible. Why don't we try to do it then and give thanks to God from the bottom of our hearts. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses, where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does.
Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.